have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Love Brothers, the Jewel, David Benton, Beyonce Fist in the building. This is what y'all want?
Yeah.
You gon' get it.
Huh? It don't bother me. Hey, no. It don't bother me. Faking hoes. It don't bother me. Running no. It don't bother me. Running no. It don't bother me. Hey, no. It don't bother me. Faking no. It don't bother me. Running no. It don't bother me. Running no. I ain't worried about it. 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 13 years in the bed and people let me for dead. Hit the weight, smiling red, cause I'm a thoroughbred. Every word that I said I kept. You slept on me, the government stepped on me. My homies just left on me. Nobody but mama dirt, daddy stress, kids too. You would know what I've been through if you did a bit too. Don't think that you know me, cause we went to the same school. Showing you chain gang and became a dang fool. I ain't cool, but still I don't blame you. I'm not the same dude. I'm winning, it can't lose. Never be gangster or thug, but I did pop a slug when I was selling drugs in the slum. On the inside of Knoxville, homies they got killed. Just because I'm not a killer don't mean that I'm not real. God told me my purpose, I was nervous and got chill. Survivor, striving, that's why I'm not bothered. It don't bother me, hey, no. It don't bother me, faking hoes. It don't bother me, running no. It don't bother me, running no. It don't bother me, hating no. It don't bother me, faking no. It don't bother me, running no. It don't bother me, running no.
I ain't worried about it. 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 I ain't worried about it.
I got haters on haters.
I got haters on haters.
I got haters for haters.
I trade haters for haters.
They hated the haters. You ain't getting no papers.
Your
latest to haters. Yes, I'm a partaker. Yeshua, come save us. Y'all haters keep talking and talking and talking. More talking ain't gonna do nothing. You just keep on walking and walking. More talking ain't down for no sparking. Can't roll with the chosen, so you should go pocket. Oh, you really ain't about it. You just like the music. Get up out of the way, let the jewel go on and doze it. This ain't a dream, I was put on a scene, feel a sting with a smack in my hand. You think you can judge me, this clay, this vessel, God soldier, this man? I stand on the rock and it's heavy and steady, that's right that I stand. I'm telling you fam, I ain't choose to do this, so this all I got planned. No, I don't care what you talking about. Low-key capping, what it be about. I hear the devil coming out your mind like
no, 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 no.
Nah, we don't play cause we're from the south. Too blessed to be strapped. We don't even care what you talking about.
It don't bother me, hating no. It don't bother me, faking no. It don't bother me, running no. It don't bother me,
hating
no. It don't bother me, faking no. It don't bother me,
running
no.
I ain't worried about it. 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 I ain't worried about it.
Yeah, I ain't worried about it. All right. Shout out to David Benton. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome back, everybody, to Elation Radio. This is Minister Cedric on Relentless Pursuit. And I'm telling you what a great, great, great week we've had. Today we've got I've got Jason on with me again, my partner in crime. And tonight... we just want to have a little talk about something we talked about earlier on in the week. And so he had a little something on his heart. We wanted to talk more about it. We were talking about the book of Luke. For those of you who haven't read the whole book, it's actually very good. It's actually very good. There's some really key points that he points out in the book. It's awesome. He has several themes that he covers, and just a wonderful read. If you're not totally familiar with the book of Luke, we just want to kind of introduce you to it tonight, and hopefully it will spark your interest and you'll go and read it from start to finish. I think you'll find it very interesting. Jason, you on with me tonight?
Yes, sir. Here I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. I can hear you just fine. How you doing?
How we doing today, man?
I'm hanging in there. You know, it's been great. I wish I could had a lot to complain about, but I don't have much. But it's been a great day. I've spent a little bit of time reading, you know. So it's been awesome. What about yours?
Oh, man, it's been a great day. You know, just like you said, just kind of doing a little work, spending a little time reading. Jumping into that book of Luke, which is, you know, I've read it a couple of times, but, you know, just kind of in preparation for the show, read through some things and some, you know, God just kind of threw some things out there for me.
Okay.
I never saw before reading it, so it was a good read, you know.
All right, well, that's good. I'm glad you found it quite interesting as well. Let's go ahead and jump in. Let's talk a little bit about it. In my own personal reading, I found that it was actually quite interesting in the way that he gave account of the life of Christ, you know, and so he kind of presented Christ as a perfect human, but I don't want to take over. I want you to go ahead. You go ahead and talk to us about it. What do you find so interesting about the book of Luke?
So first of all, just to know a little bit about Luke, you know, the fact that he was a man of science, a physician, you know, who he talks about this when he wrote in the beginning of the book, like one of his purpose of writing was I think it was to a king or a leader at the time, just to kind of give his account of this man we call Christ and to give his take
on it.
For people who don't know, Luke is part of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And all four of the Gospels give the account of Christ in his ministry on earth, and they give it to your point from a different perspective. One of the things that really jumped out with me was how it started. You know, most of the Gospels, they really start talking about Christ and, you know, who he is, where Luke took the time not only to talk about Christ, but to talk about John the Baptist. If you're familiar with scriptures, one of the things they're foretold the coming of Christ was a messenger to kind of prepare the way. Luke was writing this, that was part of his purpose to say, like, everything that you read in scriptures, everything that you've heard about in scriptures, let me explain to you through this account how it got manifested itself. And he started with John the Baptist, and man, that was a real good story. And like I said, I read Luke a couple of times, but to read about John and you know his lineage, you know his father being a priest in the temple, you know, and his mother and that whole situation was something that jumped out at me, you know. And then if you knew the life of John and kind of where he started from and look what he did, it's kind of interesting because, you know, he comes from a priestly lineage, you know, and, you know, at the time, you know, priests were kind of high up on the food on the food chain. But as John walked in his ministry, he let all that go.
Yeah.
He was in the wilderness. You know, some accounts had him being like wild hair and with a unkempt beard, you know, but his whole life was
kind of completely
dedicated to his purpose and his part in that in that coming. So I thought that part first of all jumped out at me.
Yeah, and that's funny because and the way you describe John the Baptist, the way that he's described in the Bible, but that didn't kind of
I mean, it's refreshing to me to know that, yeah, he wasn't this prim and proper person, yet he was still a follower of Christ and he still taught, you know, and I guess at that point, not quite the follower, but, you know, he did wind up baptizing Jesus. So what I was taking into account of the book of Luke, and you know, like I said, the whole theme for me in the book was he was talking about the perfect man, right? And his audience, I think you mentioned, you didn't mention him by name, but Theophilus was the man he was actually talking to. And like what I gleaned from Luke, the way the book is written, like you said, he was a physician. So I think of somebody who's definitely very well read, who was basically, I think the word I would use is was also a historian. And because he had some very detailed accounts of the life of Jesus, and he actually took the time and to put down these details. You know, he didn't just do everything with a broad brush. And so, again, when I'm reading the book of Luke, those are the things that I'm getting. You know, another thing about Luke, and Jason, I don't know if you touched on it. If you did, I apologize. But wow, he was a Gentile. He was a Gentile. And when you think of how significant that is, he's the only non-Jew, right, author in the New Testament. A lot of people, I guess a lot of times we wouldn't even think twice about that. But to me, that's very significant. That's very significant that he basically, like you and I, he's a Gentile, and yet he's writing, he's authoring books. So also leads me to think about who else is he talking to? Is he just talking to Theophilus? But I look at it, and when I read the book, and as I studied it, I'm saying, no, he's not just talking to Theophilus. It's for all of us. You know what I'm saying? It was written so that everybody could gain faith and strength and either and become believers. So all the Greeks, when they read it, you know, that they could also become believers. So I think the audience he was trying to reach was a huge audience, even though, again, when you go back and you do your research, Theophilus, he talked directly to him. But I think it was meant, I know for a fact that it was meant for all of us. It wasn't meant for just one person. And for him to talk about Christ, talk about Jesus, the perfect man, the Son of Man, man, I was like, wow. And he talked about his sacrificial, Jesus' sacrificial service, the fact that he was perfect. But, and I don't know if you picked up on it, but I also, and some of these I got from my study Bible, I'm going to be honest with you, but I also picked up a couple of themes. Did you see those in your reading? Did you see any of the themes that he talked about or that were discussed?
Yeah, you know, maybe not the same themes that you were, but just kind of going back to what you said, you know, with Luke being a Gentile, you know, that really kind of reinforces that lineage that he laid out. You know, a lot of people weren't familiar with the Jewish scriptures in the Old Testament, you know, and what the Old Testament foretold about the life of Christ and the coming of Christ. So, you know, being a Gentile,
right,
being a historian, Luke, you know, saw fit to kind of give us a real good detailed history of, you know, even if we didn't know the scripture, to explain the men and the parties involved to the point that when we go back and read scriptures, you know, the Old Testament, you'll see like, man, that sounds like John, you know? And, you know, and I think that was a great thing, you know, to your point, you know, because most Gentiles weren't familiar with those scriptures in that history, you know? So I think that's pretty, I think that just kind of reinforces, you know, Luke, you know, I think that's probably one of my favorite ones because it's a Gentile writing to me, right? Writing the things that, you know, we don't know about, you know, so.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty awesome.
And it's funny because here's the thing is, as I go, as I've gone through looking out, I'll give you some scriptures as well, but I started thinking about my life lessons, or the life lessons we could get from the book of Luke. And one of the biggest, and tell me what you think and how, since you've read the book of Luke several times and you just studied it, but I looked at it from the standpoint, I saw where Jesus, he showed compassion for everybody, for all the lost and all the hurting people. And then I took from that was, I should be doing the same thing. I mean, like, the first time I ever read that, I started thinking how humane, and I like to use the term humane, how humane can I treat people? Because I've lived a life where sometimes I looked at people who, you know, I didn't necessarily think that they were, I didn't look at them with love and kindness. And in reading Luke, reading this book, I started really thinking about it because, again, he uses Jesus as the example, and it just made me want, and it still does, but it makes me want to change my life. It makes me want to reconsider how my life actually follows Christ. Do I truly use Jesus as my example? And that was one of the things that I thought long and hard about. It was like, man, I don't know if I got this right. So it definitely makes me want to, makes me want to check myself, you know. And, I mean, did you feel that at all when you read, or?
Oh, yeah. The account of Christ that you read about in Luke is one that you say is filled with so much love, and how he just, you know, healed and moved. And I think it does set a standard, set a bar for us. You know, to your point, do I operate like him, right? You know, one thing that jumped out in that vein of love is how he just constantly dealt with people who were always against him. You know, they were constantly questioning him, you know, setting them up for traps, you know, trying to get them to say the wrong thing, trying to get them to do the wrong thing. You know, he just continued to operate, you know, with that love and that compassion. And, you know, and reaching out to the hurting and the lost and the people who were afflicted, you know, and just everything he did was with that loving part of it, you know, and I think that's one thing that really jumped out. I'll tell you another, when you talk about themes, another thing that jumped out, and it kind of started pretty early in the book, was purpose, right? And, you know, if you look at, you know, that story of John the Baptist, his father and his mother, and the purpose that they serve, right? And then, you know, to watch that transition. And for me, I love the story of John the Baptist. And, you know, when we talk about his life was full of purpose. And all he talked about was he reminded people, yeah, I'm not the one. My job is just to tell you that he's coming. And throughout the book, he just constantly, you saw that sense of purpose in him. And then fast forward, now Christ is involved in his ministry. The same thing, that sense of purpose, right? I'm here to do my Father's work. I'm here to proclaim, you know, the good news of my arrival, you know. And in that purpose, you know, you just saw that he consistently, you know, operating that through ridicule, through pain, through just betrayal. I mean, man, like I said, this time reading through, and you read, when I read about the last, what we call the Last Supper, that man broke bread with the man who's going to get him killed. And he knew it. And he just, he was like, I'm about my purpose, right? And even when he told everybody, you know, I'm going to be betrayed, he didn't do it side-eyed and he tried to, like, he did it like, man, this is just part of the plan, and I accept the plan. So, you know, that's another thing that jumped out at me with that theme of purpose.
Wow. Yeah. You know, when I think about it, man, that's kind of deep right there, because I tell you, one of the things that stood out with me is when you get into it's in chapter one, and if you go to, like, I think it's verse 26,
and where the angel promises the birth of Jesus to Mary. I mean, like when I read that, you know, I can't help but just think, and I know I'm going to kind of get off a little bit about just the book, but, you know, get more into what he's talking about. But when I think about that, man, you know, to be able to write about something that was basically a promise, something that was predicted well before it happened, you know, I get the sense that as he was writing the book, I get the sense that this is a very educated person, you know, definitely paying attention to all the details. And it you know, kind of makes me want to study. It makes me want to study this more because I feel so inept. And I let you know what I'm talking about here because I feel like I'm talking a little bit of a circle here. But basically, in verse 26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." When I read the book, I kind of think that, wow, he's witnessing this. So this is information that's been passed on to him. And so when I read the book, it kind of gets me really going. I want to figure out, how did he know this? You know, how did this happen? And again, I'm dumbfounded. I don't have much to say on it at that, because I know that everything he talks about in the book, you know, is basically he's favored by God. You know, he talks about, how do I put it, life lessons. And how we can apply these lessons to our own lives. Like when again, the angel's promise of Jesus' birth. You know, when God promises us something, when God tells us something, I think one of the things I look at is there's a level of patience, you know, because you know it's going to happen. Why? Because God has already promised it, and the way he writes it. So kind of makes me really appreciate that. You know, I guess that's what I wanted to say to that. Because, you know, as we walk through our everyday lives, you know, if we don't have good examples like this, you know, how to be faithful, how to hold on to God's word, because if God said it was going to happen, then we just need to be patient and keep following his word and just watch it happen, watch him. And so I get that when I read the book as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, when you talk about that patience, and I would use another word to describe it: trust, faith, right? God has
okay.
said it, and it's gonna come to fruition, right? And it's interesting, you know, as the book is written, you see early on in the scripture, you know, it's funny, right? The people who they were foretelling about Jesus almost had more faith than the people who walked with Jesus, right? You know, and, you know, when Gabriel went to, you know, Mary, and then Gabriel went to John's mother and told them what's going to happen, they were like, man, I'm excited. Thank you for being my, you know, thank you for being, you know, for choosing me, for, you know, I'm not even worthy of this opportunity. But then the people who walked with Jesus would be like, well, who are you, right? And you see times where they question who he was. And when they saw it actually play out, they were still shocked and awed, you know, and, you know, so it's almost like a contrast of the faith of the people who didn't know Jesus and an angel would tell them about him, against the faith of the people who actually watched him do what he did, you know. And sometimes it just came off and they're like, who is this man that can calm the sea? Who is this man that can command a demon? Who is this man? And you know, so it's interesting to watch their faith, you know, their patience, you know, with Christ, walking with them, as opposed to the people who didn't even know him, right? You know, who were only told about him and told what their place in this situation was. So, yeah, I like the theme of patience, and I would also add that the theme of faith, because the people who were told, they just will. I mean, not only did they just willingly embrace it, but they humbled themselves. It's like, you know what, I'm not even worthy of this, but thank you.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is as we continue to read, I think when we get around, I don't know, I mean, where I first noticed it was around chapter 9, chapter 10, but, you know, start to talk about Jesus' ministry, his teaching ministry, and it's just like you said, as he was, and the way it's written, is as Jesus was performing miracles and his ministry was growing, he was teaching other people. He had to actually teach the disciples along the way. You know what I mean? And he taught the disciples through parables like he did everybody else. You know what I mean? What's the parable? The Good Samaritan. You know, when he talked about the when he talked about the lost sheep. You know, so he's teaching the same lessons to the disciples as he is to everybody else. And what's, for me, what's profound about that is, again, these lessons that he's teaching are applicable to our everyday lives. Think about it. He's talking about prayer. He's talking about finances. And like you said, he's talking about being faithful. He's talking about faithfulness. And so as I went through it and I started reading, I was just like, wow. And every time I read it, I find something new in it. And I wonder, how can I put this meat on the bones? You know, put the meat on it. Put it where the goats can get it, right? Because it seems to me that he shows a very big interest in people. I'm just saying all of us in our lives. But as you read Luke, he talks about how people's lives, how they intersect with Christ's life, you know what I'm saying, or with Christ's ministry. So I like that as well because, you know, it does me good to know that I'm not the only one who feels this way. You know what I'm saying? Like when I see it working in Jason's life, I'm like, well, maybe it ain't so bad after all. So that's part of what I like about the book. That's it. That's exactly what I like.
On another note, when you talk about those lives intersecting and how they came across. What one of the things that resonated with me was the sense of reverence that the people had.
Yeah.
Right? And when you talk about, you know, looking at today as opposed to then, you know, one of my favorite stories was the one about the military leader who had a sixth son or sixth servant. And he told Jesus, like, look, right. I know your power. I know your authority. You don't have to go to my house. You can just say it, and it is so, right? And you see that sense of reverence, you know, for Christ and who he was. And now when you talk about being convicted of this, man, that hurt me a bit, right? How many times when I'm sitting around questioning, you know, I got these bills to pay. Am I going, like, God, are you going to give me the money? Or, man, you know, my kids are doing such and such. God, are you going to come through, you know? Where they had so much reverence and almost they just like they knew his power. They didn't even question it. They're like, look, I know your power. You don't have to go there. You can just stay right here, and things will be done. And you just see that throughout where the people who intersected, who like you said, who wise with, you know, interacted with Jesus, how they had so much love and respect and reverence for him that it just resonated in their interaction, you know, and then as a result of that, you know, just kind of on the same vein, how much that pleased Christ, you know, and I think when you start talking about the standard being set and that kind of like how we live our life, I always say Christ is like the picture of how we walk in our humanity, you know, but if you see how he walked in that humanity and the things that the other human beings and when they dealt with them, the things that were pleasing, it was that recognition of his authority, you know, and he talked a lot about that through his ministry, especially to the religious leaders. You know, it's funny, you know, he didn't talk much about his authority to you and I. He talked about his authority to the religious leaders because they always wanted to challenge that, you know, and on the opposite end, their reverence was more for I would almost say it's about them instead of their reverence of Christ. And you know, and you kind of see that. You see that contrast also, where the people who deal with Christ had more reverence than the priests and the religious leaders who's supposed to know more about this man called Christ. So that was another thing that popped out.
It's funny because he was talking about the Roman officer. I had to go look it up, but it's in chapter 7. And when you jump down to verse 9, and basically it says, this is after you told him, hey, let's start at 6. He says, I'm not even worthy to come meet you. Just say the word where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. And it says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. You know, you talk about faith, and I think when you read stories like this, or read accounts such as this, you know, it strengthens your faith. It lets you know that faith, it's not something, and the way it's written here in the book, it's not something you can just play with. You can't guess faith. Either you have it or you don't. And how I can apply this to my everyday life. I meet people all the time, clergy and non-clergy, churchgoers and non-churchgoers. They will say, I know I'm healed. And they would, and you could look at them, and they'll say it with conviction, but you know, deep in their heart, they don't even believe what they just said. And the way you know is because they carry on as if they're still carrying this burden. I give you, for instance, just the only one I can come up with right now. I talk about my injury. When I first was able to walk, I never professed that I was going to do this or that. I just wanted to walk. And the only thing I would say is, you know, I don't have no other choice. And every time the opportunity came up for me to have to move, I moved as if I was healed. Pretty soon, my mind always thought that my body was healed. And I'm telling you, it kind of catches on. And so when I read Luke and I see the stories and they talk about being faithful, God is faithful to do what he said he would do, right? But we have to speak, and when we talk about these things, we have to do it with some conviction. We have to have real faith. And that's one of the things you would, throughout the entire book of Luke, you find it. You go through and you look about where Jesus teaches about the fruit in the people's lives, what Jesus teaches about judging other people. You know, it's always there. And so I get excited about that. But one of the other things, I don't know if you noticed this, Jason, is when he talks about building a solid foundation. That is, again, going by the book of Luke, that is paramount to our Christian faith. We have to have a good foundation. And I think that's one of the reasons that when he starts the book off, think about what he starts with. Think about some of the first things he talks about. Some of the very first things that he talks about is Jesus, the preparation for Jesus' ministry. Right?
Yeah, he laid out kind of that picture of, like, you know, the things that were put in place for his ministry, and same thing on that theme of foundation. You know, it, you know, there was a lot of scripture that talked about, I think the one about the scattering seed, and how it talked about how, you know, without the right foundation, without the right roots, how things aren't supposed to grow. You know, and what I love, though, not only did it tell you the importance of foundation, but it actually points you to what that foundation should be built on, right? You know, it points to, you know, very definitively, you have to have a foundation in Christ, because when you build that foundation, everything, nothing mm-hmm. can, nothing, it can withstand anything. You know, so yeah, that theme of foundation came out, and you saw it play out in the lives of people where, you know, they knew what they knew, right? It wasn't one of those things. I think about it. I knew about it, and you know, you see that foundation yeah. play out. Yeah. So and you know, you see that throughout the book where it talks about, you know, what we need, you know, what where our hearts have to be, you know, on one line the rich man. He said, "Hey, I want to follow you." And he said, "Well, give away all your stuff." He's like, "Hold on now." You know, another part of the book when he talks about, you know, and another part of the book when he talks about, "Yeah, I want to come with you, but let me do this." He's like, "No, you know, let the dead right. have dead. You know, we're here about life." And it pointed everything back to where that foundation's supposed to be. You know, our foundation in Christ and just walking. And he saw that when he chose the disciples, how the disciples left everything aside just to go follow Christ. So, you know, that theme of foundation does resonate throughout this, you know.
Yeah, because think about this. Think about it. I'm talking about foundation. We're talking about foundation. I know we're skipping throughout the book, but we talk about foundation. Think about what one of the first things that happened when you start reading in the book. He starts to talk about John the Baptist and his relationship with Jesus, right? How their lives will be intertwined. Why? Because they were cousins. They were born just months apart, right? You said, like you said, John the Baptist. How do I say it? He's commissioned to proclaim the coming of Jesus. And he said that Jesus is going to save the people. So he came first, again, laying the foundation, you know, for Jesus. It's the preparation for his ministry. And even when he baptized Jesus, and I think a lot of times we miss that. And when we start reading, like a lot of times, and I'll tell you, this is something I was guilty of growing up, was when I would pick up the Bible, true story, Jason, when I was in high school, and it started my freshman year. I didn't have a lot of friends. I didn't hang out with my brothers very much. I had one brother at school with me. We didn't hang out together very much. We went to different high schools, as a matter of fact. And one of the things I started doing was every night, there was three things I did before I went to bed every single night. One, I worked out. It took me about 30 to 45 minutes. Two, I read several passages from the Bible. And three, I took a shower and went to bed. That was my ritual, but that set the foundation for me, even in my life. And I learned this, and as I think about it, it's just like reading the book of Luke. You have to set the foundation just about every night before I go to bed, even as an adult, and I'm now 50 years old. I will take a shower. I will read and go to bed. That's what I do. And I set the foundation for that. It hasn't changed. And so one of the things we can get from this book is just that foundational teaching. Because if you start when you're young, it doesn't change as you grow older. It just doesn't change. And the lessons that we learn, they don't change either. You know, these lessons in the book of Luke, I'm telling you, we can take them every day. We can take them with us every day. Like when you think about the miracles, I mean, Jesus was out healing, right? He was teaching the people and he was healing the people, right? And think about this. Remember his disciples, right? He called his disciples. And then check it out. He performs most of his miracles right then for his disciples. They are there. They are learning. And what was he doing? He was casting out demons, right? He was calming the winds out in the sea. You know, remember he cast out the demons from a herd of swine, from some pigs. He all of this because there was a foundation that was laid,
he was proclaimed, and here he comes. And so I like reading the book. That's one of the things I got to admit. I get kind of sidetracked with the parables and all the different miracles, and I want to stay only in those parts, but they teach me something. But then again, when you start getting towards the end of the book, then you start to find this. You find out about Jesus's his crucifixion, or what they call it, Passion Week.
Right.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah. And when you get to that part of the story, everything that we talked about up until then, it just magnifies itself. You know, Jesus' sense of purpose, you know, talking about his own death and repeatedly talking about it. And talking about it not in a sense like, man, I'm scared, or man, I don't want it, but man saying like how this is needed, right? You talk about love, right? How he showed love, you know, in those last days, you know, spending time really talking to the disciples, you know, the 12 apostles that he had with him, saying like, hey, I want to spend this time with you because I'm leaving you, right? And in this time, let me show you what that love looks like. Let me serve you. Let me break bread with you. Let me eat with you, right? You just see all those things we talk about just magnifying themselves even in their last day, you know? So I love that part of the story. You start seeing a side of Jesus that, man, to your point, like, what kind of bar does that set, right? I mean, how many of us knowing that we're walking through our last week, you know, most of us would be like, let me go tell this person off. Let me go tell that person off. You know, he didn't change what he did.
Yeah.
Right? He continued to do his ministry. He continued to love. He continued to just to operate, you know, and the people still revered him, and he still just operated in the same capacity, right? And that's amazing, right? And even in that, you still saw some of that reverence, and especially when he was hanging on the cross, and one of the men hanging there with him, you know, he revered him, you know, even chastising the other man hanging with him, you know, saying, do you not know who you're talking with, even in your last days? So, yeah, all those same things that were reflected in the, throughout the early part of the scriptures come back. And, you know, so when we talk about foundation, what we find out, you know, now who we are 2,000 years removed, is that death was the foundation of the church itself and what we're building and what we're growing today. So just all those things come really just come back to the forefront in those last couple of books too.
Yeah. You know what's funny is we were talking about some of the parables. And again, we're still in the book of Luke, but we're talking about some of the parables and we're talking about coming back. But what about the parable of the prodigal son? I'm telling you, I had to actually whip out the old Bible and pull that up. You can hear me turning the pages. But, you know, we talk about repentance. And how, again, when we set the proper foundation, we realize, and the book of Luke teaches us that we can't get too far away from Christ. You cannot, Jesus taught on it, right? And you cannot get too far away. And that's another one of the redemptive powers of reading Luke. We find that if we have a solid foundation in Christ, Christ is our foundation, period, okay? I don't care what you say, what you do, his teachings. Christ is it, right? And no matter how we call ourselves drifting, he never moves. The foundation is solid. He is solid. And so I enjoy reading. Again, I go back to the parables, and I enjoy reading those because, how do I say, comforting to know that I can make a mistake. And it could be a very deliberate mistake, but I can always come home. And the reason I know I can come home, the reason I know I can ask for forgiveness is because the foundation has been laid. It is a solid foundation. So, you know, as I continue to think about and read on further in this, the book of Luke, I'm taken aback. Even when I get to the crucifixion. You know, that doesn't cancel out. That doesn't cancel out reading about the Good Samaritan. It doesn't cancel any of that out. I like to put it all together. I like to put it all there. Because when we jump up to, I think it's chapter 24, where it starts talking about Jesus' final act and his resurrection. When I get to that part, I mean, I'm saddened. Don't get it wrong. But, man, because I know how the story ends because he already told me. I know the buildup. I've seen this movie before. I'm okay with it. Like I read it and I just try to draw from the scriptures. I try to draw some really good lessons, the life's lessons. And I try not to get hung up on where I'm stuck right now, where I may be struggling right now. You know, I try not to get hung up on that because I know that that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Christ was about. That's not why Jesus came. He didn't come so that we could be hung up and be hung up more abundantly, right? You know, and so, again, another one of those points that I like to make just because I was reading through it and I kind of read over it a little bit today. It's absolutely awesome. Absolutely an awesome book. Absolutely an awesome book.
Yeah, and when you talk about life lessons, you know, another one that resonated throughout there is humility, right? And just being humble and being selfless, right? And knowing that it's not my purpose, but I'm here to serve other people. And everything that we've talked about to this point is just a reflection of that, right? And, you know, John the Baptist, you know, he said, like, my only job is to cart the way, you know? And, you know, and even though he made a name for himself, he didn't care about the name he made for himself. He operated in a humility to say, like, it's about something bigger. It's about selfishness. It's not about me and what I did. And he even got to the point where he had to tell some of his disciples, it's like, man, it's not about us. You know, this is what's supposed to happen. And they will to him, but Jesus is baptizing more people than we are. He's like, well, that's good, because that's what it's supposed to be. He's supposed to be greater and greater, and we're supposed to be lesser and lesser. You know, and you see that kind of resonate throughout. And you know, I love him, and I love Christ himself, who in he demonstrated that sense of humility, that sense of, you know, I'm going to be lesser, you know. I'm going to wash the feet. I'm going to serve and eat with my disciples. I'm going to tell them I'm craving them and I want a relationship with them. Not, hey, you should serve me. I'm the Son of Man, right? No, he never did that. He always operated with that humility and selflessness. And you know that, and to your point, like we said earlier, that's a high bar to serve. That's a high bar to set. You know, and when we read through that, you just see how he operated. I was just, you know, I've read the scripture so many times, but just to watch him interact with Judas. He knew his man was going to be the cause of not just his death, but his suffering and death. And he treated him no different, right? And you see that the first thing he talked about, that beam of blood come out. And, man, talk about, you know, let somebody just owe me a couple of dollars. I might look at them funny. Man, he's still, you know, it's hard for me to love somebody like that. Man, he's going to love a man that's going to get him killed. And I'm like, man.
Yeah.
You're talking about, okay, well, I guess my little $2 ain't that important, is it?
Yeah, I mean, you know what's funny is as you were talking, I was thinking about what you said. I thought about it like this, though, when we invite Christ into our hearts. Because if you go back, chapter 19, it talks about Zacchaeus. When Jesus visits Zacchaeus' home, and one of the things that jumps out to me is that when you go, it's a chapter 19, verse 9, says Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this house today, for this man has shown himself to be true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Basically, what happened was, you know, Zacchaeus was up in a tree, and Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Anyway, Jesus said to him, he basically told Zacchaeus, "Come down, and I'm gonna come, and I'm gonna be a guest at your home today." And Zacchaeus was like, "Nah, nah, nah," you know.
But when we invite Jesus into our lives, the same thing happens. Just like in Zacchaeus' house, what Jesus said, he said, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. So when we invite Jesus into our hearts, into our homes, again, the book of Luke, you find the same theme throughout the New Testament. Don't get it twisted. You do. The four Gospels, you find the same theme. But when I read this, and you know, sometimes you forget where you read these things, but when I read this again, I'm saying, yeah, come to my house. I want to invite you into my house. And I'm talking about my heart. And it's another one of those heartwarming messages that you get from this particular book. And so I really like it. I wish we could spend more time talking about the parables, and maybe that's what we'll do next week, Jason, is to get into some of the actual scriptures and talk about them, because in Luke, you know, I like the theme, I like his message, and that's just something I really would love to talk more about, because man, he talks about serving, he talks about forgiveness, I mean, it's everything's in here, and even in the end, when he's being crucified, Jason, what does he talk about? What does he say? What does he do? And the theme I get from that point is that, you know, we can't run away from God. We can't. Nope, he came here to serve us, not us, him. We need to just do his will. And I think that is, yeah, like what one of the, I'm jumping all the way back, but I won't even go into a lot of it. But in chapter 24, verse 25, he said, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all things before entering his glory?" So see, even in the end, even in the darkest part, comes out with something that says, it's going to be horrible, it's going to be bad, but I have to go through this in order to achieve glory. And so when I read stuff like that, it just lets me know that even though life can get tough, life is going to be hard, but one of the things that I learned from this book is that it's okay, because glory is on the other side. We can endure for a night, with joy coming in the morning. So, you know, just like what happened with Christ, you know, it's coming back. So I enjoy that part of it as well. And that's a theme that you know, I ain't necessarily isolated to itself, but that's how I personally would like to close out everything for me tonight, is that no matter how hard it gets, you know, when it gets better, we know it's Christ. We know it's Christ. We know it.
Yeah, we didn't speak much about the parables, but you are right. There are so many life lessons and to be taken and gleaned from it, and reading those, it just, I don't know. This is probably one of the best times I had preparing for this show, because as I read through those parables again and it resonated, you know, the story of the prodigal son, right? Story of the seed. You know, all those parables that he read before, and to see, like you said, in the midst of it all, in the end, you know, the foundation, Christ is the foundation. And as long as you have that foundation, the wind may come, the storms may blow, but, you know, you can stand strong. And, you know, so this was a really good, it was a really fun read for me again, just to be reminded of that thing, and then just talking about it. And have those other things revealed, those other those things that pop out. So I love how Luke wrote it. You know, like you said, as a physician, which means a little bit of a learned man, as a historian, he really just wants to lay out the history and the lineage. And even with all that, we still are able to capture, you know, the love and the purpose and just directions for our life today. And I believe that's the power of scriptures, is that it can operate on so many different levels. But in the end, it draws you closer and nearer to Christ when you read it and you open your heart to understand
it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what, Jason? I'm going to let you have the last word tonight, because I tell you what,
You know what I'd like for us to do? Let's get together afterwards. But I definitely, I feel like we're leaving everybody a little bit incomplete. Because my big talking points that I wrote down for the book of Luke, I just want to tell you, I won't even give you all the chapters that I read, but it's the whole entire book, and my themes were simple. Preparation for Jesus' ministry, right? Miracles in Galilee, Jesus' teaching, Jesus' final days, and then Jesus' final act, you know, and then that's about the resurrection. Those were how I broke down those the chapters, and my theme, again, was a simple theme. We talked about Christ, talked about Jesus being the perfect man, and you know, that's what Luke was talking about, in my opinion. That's what I got from reading it. So, Jason, we're going to get ready to go ahead and close out. You got a final word you want to say for everybody tonight? I know you're not one for my speeches, but hey.
No, just like I said, you know, not just the book of Luke, but all the Gospels. When you read about Christ, and I encourage everybody to go read, and not just to read, to hear the story, but look at the character of the man we get to love and how he loved this person. All we can do is return that love back. That's one of the things I love reading about the Gospels, is that I just want to read about the character of Christ and to really truly know who he is. Right. So, you know him like I know you, like, you know, just know his character. You see his strength, you know, you see his love, you see how he operates, you know, and it just draws me closer and nearer to him. So I encourage everybody, like I said, with this book of Luke, just really open your heart to see what God has to reveal to you, and just get to know the character of God, because it does paint a great picture of Christ's character.
Amen. You are right with that. And with that being said, Brother Jason, thank you, man. I appreciate you having the last word. My partner in crime, my co-host, I want you so much. And as we always do, I want to thank Sister Kimmy for allowing us to be on tonight and Elation Radio. My hat's off to you. I want everybody to have a good weekend. So as we do at this time, you know what you do. You find something you love, you embrace it, and you chase it. That is your relentless pursuit. This is Minister Cedric, and I'll see you again next week at 6:30 Eastern Time here on Elation Radio. Have a good night. God bless you.
Ha. Yes, it's Man of Faith. Insomniac. We about to bring it back, 'cause I'ma bring it back. Okay. Yeah. Taking it back to the days of the feel good. Yeah. Real hip hop was the soundtrack to my childhood. Okay. Going up without a care in the world, uh-huh. Until the only thing I cared about the state of the world. You are the Zane on my level. I choose purpose over fame. I don't play with no devil. That's right. Nothing to it though, but surely I was born a rebel. Destroying everything in sight is Tasmanian devil. So you can get mad if you want to. Yeah. Block my shine, that's what you want. No, the sound here, man, there ain't nothing hotter. I refuse to let it die. This time, so I feel I gotta bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Slide to the right, move to the left. Give me space, watch me do my step. Hands up, put them up in the sky. I'ma show you how to do it, go on, raise them high. Watch me do my dance. Just watch me do my dance. I see you looking, got them all in the trance. All eyes on me, they say they love my stance. I'm still moving, still grooving, still got flow. Yeah. Y'all thought I fell off, still hot though.
Right.
I've been winning, put my faith in Christ. Uh-huh. And he never let me down, since he paid that price. Got love for my friends and my enemies.
Yeah.
Spread around like butter, that's a remedy.
Uh-huh.
Got enough for the hood and back.
Plugged
into the store so I never lack.
That's right.
So you can get mad if you want to.
If you want to.
Don't block my shine, that's what you won't
know.
The sound here, man, there ain't nothing hotter.
That's
I refuse to let it die this time, so I feel I gotta
bring it back, bring it back, bring it back.
Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back.
Bring it back.
bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back.
Slide to the right, move to the left. Give me space, watch me do my step. Hands up, put them up in the sky. I'ma show you how to do it, go on, raise them high. Watch me do my dance. Just watch me do my dance. I see you looking, got them all in a trance. All eyes on me, they say they love my stance.
Come on,
okay,
yeah,
I'ma need everybody to report.
Let's
to
go.
The dance
everybody
floor.
To the dance floor right
y'all
now.
Y'all got 5 more seconds.
5 more seconds.
Let's go.
Slide to the right, move to the left. Give me space, watch me do my step. Hands up, put them up in the sky. I'ma show you how to do it, go on, raise them high. Watch me do my dance. Just watch me do my dance. I see you looking, got them all in the trance. All eyes on me, they say they love my stance.
Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back.